The Philippines Election Commission admits so-called placeholder bets can't be easily dismissed as nuisance candidates. One of the candidates on the hot seat, Senator Ronald De La Rosa, will talk to us about his last-minute presidential bid. Veteran news anchor Noli De Castro drops out of the senatorial race. Metro Manila's COVID alert level could be downgraded this weekend. And former health officials and medical groups call on President Duterte not to obstruct the Senate probe into government's pandemic spending. We'll discuss that with former Health Secretary Dr. Manuel Dayrit. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with this story, the Commission on Elections admitting the fielding of placeholders is not enough to declare them nuisance candidates. COMELEC spokesman James Jimenez says the so-called placeholder candidates can only be disqualified if the lack of a bona fide intention to actually run is established. But former COMELEC Commissioner Louis Guia believes otherwise.
If your purpose is to be merely a placeholder, then that, to me, does not count as a bona fide intention to run for the office. When someone has no bona fide intention, good faith intention to, let me say, intention to run for the office for which the certificated candidacy has been filed, and thus prevent a fateful determination of the true will of the electorate, is declared a nuisance candidate. A nuisance candidate, if so declared, will have his certificate of candidacy cancelled or denied due course.
The debate over candidate substitution remains a hot topic days after the filing of COCs ended. Some parties, including the ruling BBP Laban, fielded candidates for the country's top post, only to later admit they are open to possible replacements. A member of the Liberal Party refutes allegations Vice President Lenny Robredo's efforts to unite the opposition for the 2022 elections bordered on intellectual dishonesty. Senatorial bet Teddy Baguilat was responding to his former party mate Egay Eriz's claim Robredo's efforts to unite the opposition failed because she had planned to run for president all along.
When you go to a negotiating table, you lay your cards out in the open. So running as a presidential candidate is one of them. She tried to her best, exhausted all efforts to talk to Senator Manny, Mayor Isko, Senator Ping, no? Alam nila Mayor Isko, nila Senator Manny ni Ping na she was interested in running, no? But her main objective or priority was to try to unite the opposition, no? When all talks broke down, she had a reflection, no? And she felt that she was the best person to represent the ideals and the conviction of the true opposition.
Still on the elections, veteran journalist Noli De Castro could soon be headed back to the newsroom. See, the former TV Patrol anchor has withdrawn his senatorial bid less than a week after filing his certificate of candidacy. While De Castro thanked Acción Democrático Party for accepting him as a member, he said he can better serve the people as a news anchor. De Castro, popularly known as Cabayan, won a Senate seat back in 2001. He was elected vice president 3 years later. He then returned to broadcasting in 2010, anchoring ABS-CBN's primetime newscast, TV Patrol. The National Telecommunications Commission orders e-commerce platforms to immediately stop the sale of SMS blasting devices. Such devices are believed to have been used to send emergency alerts promoting the presidential bid of Bongbong Marcos to several people last week, around the same time Marcos filed his certificate of candidacy. The Marcos camp denies having anything to do with it. The NTC has issued a cease and desist order for Lazada, Shopee, and Facebook for allowing the illegal sale of SMS blasters online. Representatives from the e-commerce sites must appear before the commission on October 27. The NTC says they must explain why they should not be held liable for violations and why the said product should not be confiscated. All right, we're going to take a break now. Up ahead, Metro Manila likely to be placed under a lower COVID-19 alert level this weekend. That story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on ANC. And we are back. Here's still a Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The Philippines Election Commission admits so-called placeholder bets can't be easily dismissed as nuisance candidates. Veteran news anchor Nolly De Castro drops out of the senatorial race. And Metro Manila's COVID alert level could be downgraded by this weekend. Back with more news. Senator and longtime Duterte ally Ronald De La Rosa raised a lot of eyebrows last week when he submitted his certificate of candidacy for president just before the deadline of filing of COCs. Now, many believe he's just warming the seat for presidential daughter Sara Duterte Carpio. But De La Rosa insists he's serious about his candidacy. The senator now joins us. Senator De La Rosa, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon, Carmina, and thank you for inviting me.
So how are you? Are you still in a state of shock?
Starting to normalize.
Gaano ba kayo nagulat? At nakapag-usap po ba kayo ng misis ninyo bago kayo nagdesisyon?
Actually, hindi. Dahil sinabihan ko na lang sila yung nagpa-file na ako. Yun na. Kasi mabilisan yung pangyayari. Takbo kagad ako doon sa Sofitel file. Then while in the process of filing, tinatawagan ko sila. Informing them na I'm here.
Mm. At ano pong sabi sa inyo ng pamilya ninyo?
Medyo nagulat sila. Nagulat, but still, they expressed their full support to me. Wala man silang magawa dahil andun ako eh. Hmm. So, suportado nila ako.
At wala rin po kayong nagawa? Hindi po biro itong napasok ninyo?
Well, hindi sa walang nagawa, walang magawa. I could have declined the offer if I was purely made to understood that ang purpose ko talaga doon na mag-file is as placeholder lang or caretaker lang ng position na ito. Mm-hmm. But the exact words that was given to me was that when I asked them, why me? I was told by Secretary Cusi that wala nang ibang pwedeng magpapatuloy sa legasiya na iniwan na iiwan na ating Pangulong Duterte pag-alis niya sa opisina. Yung laban natin sa drugs, korupsyon, kriminalidad, insurgency, terrorism, yung build, yung ating pandemic response program, yung ating economic recovery amidst the pandemic. So, ikaw na ang pwedeng magpapatuloy dito. Hmm. So I'm convinced. I'm convinced. So pumunta ako. But so, I have at the back of my mind, alam ko may posibleng scenario ito na pwedeng mangyari na because even me myself, I really long for Sara Duterte candidacy for the presidency. Mm. Yan ang gusto ko talaga. Pero anyway, everything naman is perfectly legal. Kung mangyari man yan, nandyan naman yan sa batas. Very clear man yan. So, andito ako. As I've said, I'm a team player. I am willing to place the party's interest over and above my personal interest. Kung meron man akong personal interest.
Opo. Senator, because you were quoted to have said that, you know, in so many ways, you followed like a good soldier. So it was clear to you what the mission was.
Yeah. I am a good soldier. I follow orders coming from the leadership of our political party.
Mm. So yung mission po na binigay sa inyo, you just clarified it. It wasn't as if this is part of the smoke screen, the smoke and mirrors to, you know, just warm the seat for Sara Duterte. Claro sa inyo nung nakausap kayo na kayo talaga ang pinili.
Yes.
At hindi
yes.
bilang placeholder.
Hindi lang placeholder, kundi ako talaga. But at the back of my mind, alam ko na mayroon pang October 25 na November 15 na deadline o deadline for substitution. So alam ko posible pa mangyari. And I myself, I'm trying to convince Mayor Sara na kung pwede siya talagang tumakbo.
When was the last time that you talked to her?
Text lang, text. You know, 4 days before the deadline of filing of candidacy.
At ano pong sabi sa inyo ni Mayor?
Nagpasalamat lang siya. I texted her that ma'am, the president has already withdrawn from his nomination for vice presidency. So that is a sign, that is a manifestation that he is true to his words when you agreed between the two of you that only one Duterte will be filing for a national post. So may dagdag pa ko doon sa dulo. Maluoy ka, ma'am. Sige na, ma'am. Maluoy ka. I was pleading to her na tumakbo na. And her answer was daghang salamat sa suporta, sir. So maraming salamat daw sa suporta. Yun lang naman ang sagot niya.
Mm. And since filing your certificate of candidacy for president, have you talked to her?
I tried to text her once nung nabalitaan ko na naka-quarantine siya dahil sa COVID.
Apa.
At tinext ko siya na, ma'am, huwag kang magpatalo dyan. COVID lang yan.
Mm.
Fight. So, hindi naman siya sumagot. So, hindi ko na pinalapan dahil yun nga, under quarantine. Papahingahin muna natin siya.
Paano kaya yung pag-uusap sa partido, Senator De La Rosa? Kasi she was very resolved in her statement that she will never run under PDP Laban. Hindi po maganda ang pananaw niya sa partido ninyo. So kung mangyayari man, napapalitan ka niya, paano kaya mangyayari yun?
Magbago yung isip niya at gusto niyang pumalit sa akin, she can be inducted into our political party anytime. Madali lang siya swear in anytime. At pag naging membro na siya, she will be available to be issued with the CUNA, Certificate of Nomination and Acceptance, and magpaila siya na si Usin niya before November 15.
Mm-hmm. And
that would be the scenario.
That's the scenario, and are you and your party mates preparing for that scenario?
Hoping and praying na may mangyaring ganon. But kung wala mangyaring ganon, then I am in for a one big fight.
Alam niyo ba, Senator, kung... But how does that make you feel? Considering that kinausap po kayo, you could have declined, you said, but they made it clear to you that you alone can continue the legacy of the president. And yet, on the other hand, parang hindi po rin buong kumpiyansa dahil they're still hoping for the mayor, Sara Duterte Carpio, to change her mind and take her place. Where does that put you and how does that make you feel, Senator?
You're implying that do I feel betrayed? Ganon?
You tell me. Kung ano po ang pakiramdam po ninyo?
No. Being offered to run as the president, the highest position in the land, is already enough honor for me to be considered as the standard bearer of the ruling party, PDP Laban. I'm proud of it.
Would you know, Senator, if there are, because as you said a while ago in your personal capacity, you've been exchanging texts and trying to convince the mayor to change her mind. Pero sa grupo po ng partido, alam niyo ba kung may conscious effort? You said they're hoping and they're praying, but what about conscious efforts, really, to convince her?
I don't know. I don't know the efforts of the party leadership. Mm-hmm. But I know, kahit sa sino sa kanilang kakausap, wala nang ibang pwede pang makapag-kumbinsi kay Mayor Imde Saratoran kundi yung father niya. In the end, the family matters. Yun ang father and daughter relationship will prevail. So yung father lang talaga ang expected natin na makapag-kumbinsi sa kanya.
Balik po tayo sa preparation ninyo because as you said, you know, you're willing, you've accepted, you have it in your heart now that you're the standard bearer. How are you preparing for it?
Well, alam mo, yung preparation is para bang merong while you're preparing, you're thinking about there's a sword of Damocles. How do you pronounce that? Damocles. The sword of Damocles. Basta sa Bisaya, Damocles yan tawag namin. The sword of Damocles is hanging behind your head. Dahil dyan sa November 15 deadline. But still, we are starting our preparations. And the party itself is already rolling out its caravan for Bago, Bato, Go, Tandem.
How will your administration be different? Will it be different at all from this current administration? What will you do differently?
Well, President Duterte is unique. There can never be Duterte Part 2. There can never be Duterte Part 2. He is a unique leader. Iba siya. So you expect that if susuertehin tayo, you expect that my administration will be sort of pattern doon sa pagpapatakbo ni Pangulong Duterte, but slightly different in some aspects.
Like what aspects? How different?
Nakikita naman natin, di ba, kung ano yung mga loopholes ngayon, itong nangyari ngayon, nakikita naman natin. So we'll try to correct that. Like for example, yung ating war on drugs, I am willing to adjust. Ipagpatuloy ko pa rin yung gira natin, kampanya natin laban sa droga, but still with modifications like pagbawalan natin yung ating kapulisan na mag-conduct ng anti-drug operations na walang suot na body-worn camera. Kailangan talagang to be for an anti-drug operation to be legitimate, meron talagang suot ng body-worn camera.
Senator, we do know that you're one of those accused at the ICC as having committed crimes against humanity in the pursuit of this bloody war on drugs. If you win, Senator, should you win, are you going to use your position to protect not just yourself, but the president as well? Or will you cooperate with the ICC?
Well, alam nyo, from my standpoint, I deeply believe that their investigation talaga ay walang basis. Kahit sinong tanungin natin dito sa Pilipinas, is our judicial system not working? Is our courts not working? Are our courts not working? Is there crimes against humanity? Ikaw, Carmina, tanungin kita. Prangkahan lang tayo. Do you see crimes against humanity happening in the Philippines? I don't think so. So it is my duty, it is my right to protect myself. But then again, for transparency reasons, then I will tell them, go ahead, you investigate. Para malaman yung katotohanan na niluluko lang ninyo ang sarili ninyo. Or niluluko kayo ng mga kababayan namin na gumagawa-gawa ng report dyan sa inyo na pinaniwalaan naman ninyo.
So will you then, Senator, reinstate the membership of the country?
No, that would be a slap in the face of the president. Why would I para kung kumuha ng baton, ipukpuk ko sa ulo ko dyan. Ibalik ko yung membership natin sa ICC. Tingnan mo yung mga magagaling na bansa, nagpamembro ba sila dyan? Hindi sila nagpapaalipin dyan sa mga European na yan. Look at US, membro ba? China, membro ba? Indonesia, membro ba? Hindi sila nagpamembro.
Pero basihan ba yun sa pagiging miyembro ng Pilipinas?
Yung?
Ano yung mga membership ng iba, yung sinasabi niyo po.
Hindi nga sila nagpamembro dahil alam nila na this European body will exert their supremacy over other countries. Eh, bakit tayo magpamembro International Criminal Court? Bakit? Wala ba tayong sariling courts dito? We have our Supreme Court. That is perfectly functioning. Bakit tayo magpamembro dyan?
But as you said, should you win, you will cooperate for transparency.
For transparency reasons. I will tell them, go ahead, you investigate para malaman ninyo, makita nyo katotohanan at mapapahiya kayo. Yung kiniklaim ninyo na 20,000 or 30,000 na namatay, baka sinama nyo yung mga COVID deaths dyan. Kayo umabot na ganun.
Senator, I want to go back to the process within the party because, you know, a lot of people were shocked. Alam nyo rin po yan, hindi ba? Kung bakit kausap po kayo ngayon bilang presidential contender at hindi lang bilang senador. Now, the question is, how do you expect voters to respect you as a presidential candidate when it is clear to them that your very own party did not respect the process within?
Is the process not respectful enough for the people? Kung meron mong process, whether it's mabilis na process or mabagal na process, still, it underwent a process yung pag-nominate sa akin. Dumaan man sa proseso. Posible naman hindi dumaan sa proseso. Hindi ba yung pinag-usapan ng liderato o sino? Sino ba ang ating final option? We are running out of time. To be frank with you, we are running out of time. Sino ang ating pipiliin dito? So nag-usap na sila at kinusulta si Pangulong Duterte, Sir, okay ba ito? Si Bato natin yung patakbuhin. Then napag-usapan nila. So that's the process na ginawa nila. Kung meron mang mabagal man o mabilis ang proseso, but still, may process na ginawa.
Ano ho ba talaga nangyari, Senator? Can you give us the inside story here? Why was it that all of a sudden, things were just thrown into disarray? It was very clear you had a process from the start, and then as you yourself said, all of a sudden you found yourselves running out of time.
Well, di ba? Initially, the nominated standard bearer was Senator Bongo, and the vice presidential candidate was Senator Duterte.
Mm-mm.
Pagdating ng panahon, nag-withdraw si President Duterte from that nomination. Sabi niya, he is retiring from politics. So, yung binakit niya na position, nag-slide down si Senator Bongo. Doon siya nag-file ng COC. So, bakante ngayon ang presidency, yung standard bearer. And to be frank, kahit na hindi nila sabihin sa akin officially, the party is hoping na tatanggapin ni Mayor Inday Sara yung invitation sa kanya to be our standard bearer. Yan yung hinihintay natin. But since hindi talaga nagbago yung decision ni Mayor Inday, then nag-scramble ngayon ang liderato ng Pinipilaban na maghanap ng standard bearer.
Senator, I want to move away from the elections first and focus on one of the really important issues hounding the country today, and it's the pandemic response and the Blue Ribbon Committee hearing into the pandemic spending. Senator, nabanggit niyo po before, and let me just, pasensya na po, kailangan na natin magsalamin. Let me just read to you what you said. I think this happened a couple of weeks back. Ang sabi niyo po, in fairness kay President Duterte, I have known him for 35 years at alam ko kapag ang isang tao niya ay ma-involve sa isang corruption, hindi yan tatagal. Tanggal ka agad yan. But kung ganun po ang pagkakakilala niyo kay Presidente, why did he have to issue that memo barring cabinet officials from attending or participating in the Blue Ribbon Committee hearing? Kung katotohanan lamang po ang pinag-uusapan dito, Senator.
Well, the context there, Carmina, is very clear. Naramdaman ni Pangulong Duterte na hindi na investigation in aid of legislation ang pakay ng committee na ito, kundi investigation of in aid of whatever popularity contest. Dahil umahaba na eh. Masyado na mahaba. Eh, isipin mo, 12 hearings na nangyayari? 11 or 12 hearings? Oh, anong purpose ng 12 hearings na yan? Alam mo, in fairness to the chairman, Senator Gordon, he is a brilliant lawyer. Hinahangaan ko yan. Ako, isang police lang, investigador na police. And I have done criminal investigations in my whole life. Kung mag-hearing ka dyan, isa, dalawa, tatlo, or apat na hearings is enough already kung makuha mo na yung katotohanan. If you're, I'm sure you will be able to unearth kahit na first hearing mo pa lang. First impression is lasting. Second, third, fourth, maximum na yan. You can get the bottom of it already. You can unearth the truth. Pero kung kahit na abot ka ng 1,000 hearings, 1,000 times na hearings, if kung wala kang ma-unearth na truth, then wala ka talaga makukuha dyan.
But how can, if the goal is to unearth the truth, how can issuing this memo help to unearth the truth?
Eh, nakapagsalita na nga lahat ng mga, kwan, lahat ng mga resource person, nandiyan na, pabalik-balik na, at the same time, parehong mukha ng mga senador, pabalik-balik ang tanong, pabalik-balik ng mga senador, patanong-tanong everyday. So nagsawa na si Pangulong Duterte, sabi niya, ano bang gagawin itong mga tao ko? Wala nang, hindi na ito makapagtrabaho. Puro na lang harap dyan sa kanila at ginagawa na nilang, ano ba? Anong purpose ito?
Mag-eleksyon na?
Kailangan natin ito para sa eleksyon? Hindi naman siguro. Hindi matanga si President Duterte na gagawin niya yan without any apparent reason.
But Senator,
alam mo, mahirap magsalita kasi nasa gitna ako eh. I am closely associated, identified with President Duterte. At the same time, I am a member of the Senate. Mahirap yung siraan ko yung institution to where I belong. Hindi ko pwede siraan yun. But I am just expressing the sentiments of President Duterte on the context, within the context of this ongoing Senate hearing.
That I'm also talking to you now, Senator, as a senator and as a member of the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee. You could have also asked questions and laid out the predicate if you think that's, you know, the questioning is going some other way. Why haven't you done so?
Uy, hindi mo ba nakita yung sinabi ko? You asked me that question, yung sinabi kong ganun. But before that, nagreklamo na ako kay Chairman Gordon na sabi ko, kung ganito tayo palagi, yung hearing natin, kami ni Senator Tolentino, alas 8 pa kami physically present dito sa building. Alas 8 pa, andito na kami. Taas kami ng taas ang kamay, hindi kami na-recognize. And then recognize mo palagi yung mga, I was listed number 7, Tolentino was listed number 8, ang in-entertain mo yung singit ng mga number 14, number 13, number 15 sa listahan. Paano kami angat dito sa priority list kung hindi natin susundin ito? Singit lang na singit yung pinapaboran mong patatanungin dahil puro anti-Duterte na mga tanong. Kami na kaalyado ni President Duterte, hindi napapansin, hindi nakikita. So nagsawa ko at saka, I cannot attend to those 12 hearings na ginagawa ni Senator Gordon dahil meron din ako sariling committee hearings na ginagawa. Meron din akong budget hearings na ginagawa. Being vice chairman of the finance committee, marami rin akong ginagawa. Hindi ko pwede araw-araw nandun. Naka-discourage ka lang. Magpalista ka ngayon. Mm. Nandun ka sa hearing. Nalista ka. Number, kasi palagi yan eh. Every hearing after ng magsalita yung committee chairman, priority magsalita ang Senate President. That's the protocol talaga. Then yung Senate pro tempore, yung majority leader, then the minority leader. Apat yan sila palagi nauuna. Sa chairman pa lang, ubos na yung 2 oras nagsasalita. Dagdagan pa ng 4 na opisyalista ito ng Senado, kami, wala nang panahon para magsalita. Mag-adjourn na yung hearing, hindi pa kami nakapagsalita. Dahil
sa tingin niyo,
palagi yung mga opisyalis ng Senado.
So, Senator,
kayo makita mo, the same person asking questions, pabalik-balik.
So, Senator, sa pakiramdam niyo po ba, this is just all about politics and this is no longer about the pursuit of the truth?
Well, how I wish na truth talaga hinahanap dito. Kasi ako mismo, I am urging Senator Gordon to file his... alam ko, meron na siya nakita dyan eh. First, second, third hearing pa lang, meron ka na makukonclude dyan. Mag-file na sana siya ng committee report para makapag-file na kagatay ng kaso kung sino ang dapat mananagot dito. Kung meron mang korupsyon dito, dapat talaga mananagot yan. Hindi natin pababayaan yan. So, I am with him in finding the truth, in searching for the truth.
There is a perception that the president is defending his former advisor, Michael Yang. Is that true?
I don't know. If that is your speculation, then you can have your own speculation. But sa akin, President Duterte, anong pakialam niya? Alam mo bang may instruction niya si President Duterte sa akin noon sa Davao pa? Oh, yung Michael Yang na yan, ha? Bantayan mo yan. Monitor mo yan. Kapag involved yan sa droga, di alam natin, in-check. In-check palagi na involved sa droga doon sa palagi, ha? Hindi ako nagkakaroon ng sinupobya. Kundi palagi talaga yan. Chinese palagi nagdadala ng droga nito. Bantayan mo yan. Kapag nalaman mong may link yan sa droga, upakan mo. Huwag ka mag-isitate. May instruction siya sa akin noon. Pero in fairness, sa tagal-tagal ko nag-monitor, wala akong nakita. Wala akong na-establish na link niya sa droga. Kaya si Duterte, si President Duterte pa, didipinsahan niya yan. Kung involved yan si Michael Yang na yan, uy, ano pakialam niya? Bitayin ninyo yan kung gusto niyong bitayin. Pero huwag niyong gamitin pampropaganda para sa eleksyon ninyo at para siraan ang administrasyon.
Senator,
the way the people see it is nakakasawa na kasi. Nakakasawa na tingnan ng mga taong bayan. Pabalik-balik na lang. The same people asking the same questions. Pabalik-balik. So, sabi siguro, I'm just assuming, ha, the context wherein President Duterte was making that decision.
Senator, mas matagal ho kayo magkaibigan ng presidente kesa dito kay Michael Yang. Be honest with us. Do you think Michael Yang's involvement as economic advisor or whatever it is, maybe it's the friendship, hurt the president?
Eh, sa ngayon, napilit na nililing siya sa ganon, tapos nililing siya sa itong parmali at you know, everything, ang latay, ang the final latay niyan is presidente pa rin. Eh. Siya pa rin tatamaan. Kaya talagang maapektado si presidente diyan dahil nga pilit na ililing sa kanya yung tao. May kasalanan mawala o na-establish man o hindi yung culpability ng isang tao na yan, nililing sa kanya. So doon pa rin sa kanya ang final latay.
So nakasira ho ba si Michael Yang kay presidente?
Kasi sinisira siya eh. Sinisira siya. Alam mo na yung moves ng mga kalaban ng gobyerno. Ganun man talaga gagawin. Sisirain. Kapag masira yan si Michael Yang, sira rin si Pangulo. Pero in fairness, alam ko, walang pakialam si Pangulong Duterte dyan.
Mm-mm.
Kung gusto niyong bitayin yan, kung sino man yung mga involved yan sa corruption, kung meron man, alam ko si President Duterte galit niya sa corruption. Ang dami ko na nakita na mga close friends niya doon sa Davao na matagal na niya kaibigan, pero pag na-involve ka sa mga issues about corruption, sisipain ka kagad, tanggal ka, hindi ka magtatagal.
Senator, alam na po natin yan, galit siya sa corruption, galit siya sa droga, but something just doesn't add up from what you just said. You said a while ago that back in Davao, the president even asked you to monitor the movement of Michael Yang. If he had suspicions then, and this is dealing something to do with drugs, if he had suspicions then, why even appoint him as his economic advisor, Senator?
Because we have proven nothing about his links in drugs. Wala kami nakita na links sa drugs. Kaya, why not? Why not? If sa tingin mo, magiging asset yung tao, makakatulong yan sa yung relations with China, kung nakakatulong yan sa yung pakipagkaibigan sa China, sa yung foreign policy, make use of this person.
Okay, Senator, we're going to have to leave it at that. We'd like to thank you for joining us this afternoon. Maraming salamat po sa inyo. You take care and you keep safe.
Salamat, Carmina. Carmina, baka mamaya ma-misinterpret mo ako na galit ako sa iyo, ha? Yung ganun lang talaga magsalita pag Bisaya. Ganun talaga ang salita ng
medyo. Hindi po ako nakaka-miss. Wala pong misinterpretation. Tsaka okay lang po kung galit kayo sa akin. That's all right. Maraming salamat po, Senator De La Rosa.
Thank you, Carmina. Salamat.
All right. Moving on, the Philippines Disaster Monitoring Agency is verifying the deaths of 11 people after severe tropical storm Maring battered parts of Luzon. Most of the reported fatalities drowned or were killed in landslides. The National Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Council says 7 people were also reported missing. Meanwhile, more than 4,500 families were forced to evacuate their homes. Agricultural losses due to Maring already at 29.4 million pesos in the Cordillera Administrative Region alone. Here in the Philippines, Metro Manila poised to be placed under Alert Level 3 by Saturday, October 16th. Interior Undersecretary Epimaco Densing cites the continued decline in COVID-19 cases in the capital region, as well as a lower ICU utilization rate as reasons for the possible downgrade. Under Alert Level 3, more businesses will be allowed to reopen at increased capacities.
Ngayon sa pagdating sa Alert Level 3, yung mga crises natin na ipinagbabawal sa Alert Level 4, magbubukas na po yan. At ang magkakaroon ng capacity na at least 30% nitong mga crises na binabanggit natin, kagaya po ng meetings, conferences, and exhibitions na pinagbabawal sa Alert Level 4, pwede na po tayo sa mga ganyang klaseng aktibidades up to 30% capacity. Yung ating mga restaurants na dine-in, pwede na rin po up to 30% capacity, whether bakunado ka or hindi. Just gatherings, up to 30%, pwede na rin po, whether vaccinated or not.
Densing adds, the Philippine government is also looking to implement the alert level system outside of Metro Manila.
Gusto namin may representation ang Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. Mm-hmm. At may representation ang different alert levels. No? So ang pwede kong bagitin siguro ang Biliran, na nakita natin nasa alert level 1. So maka maging testing ang probinsya ng Biliran may become a pilot area for alert level 1.
On Tuesday, the Philippines recorded over 8,600 new COVID-19 infections, raising the country's total caseload to over 2,683,000. The death toll stands at nearly 40,000. Meanwhile, an infectious diseases expert believes Alert Level 4 in Metro Manila should still be retained for 2 more weeks. Ronchin Solante says intensive care units and hospitals are still full despite the downward trend in cases.
2 more weeks kasi alam mo, maski sabihin mo bang kumukonte or nagda-downtrend ang cases, no? But in the hospitals, we're still seeing cases, ha? And it's not a significant number of drop in the number of cases, no? And I think we still need to observe further, no? Not sana hindi tayo nagmamadali.
The Chief of Staff of Presidential Candidate Manila Mayor Francisco Isko Moreno Dumagoso has resigned. George Carino now joins us with the details. George, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. The Chief of Staff, Cesar Chavez, has resigned from the group of Mayor Isko Moreno as one of the key factors or key persons in the campaign for presidency. In his Facebook page, Cesar Chavez, and I quote, said that MBC, referring to Manila Broadcasting Company, management has actually offered me a position as early as March this year, and this was announced in a general staff meeting of DZRH about 6 months ago. I told Mayor Isko about the offer and my intention to accept the same. Salamat, Yorme, sa pag-unawa at pagkakataong makapagtrabaho sa Maynila. Napakaraming magagaling at matitino sa City Hall. Maraming salamat sa inyo. close quote. That was the third paragraph of the Facebook page of Cesar Chavez. And this was quite different from the response provided by Mayor Esco when he was asked by Marichu Villanueva, reading a question from the media brought before the Capi of Manila Bay Tuesday morning. And Mayor Esco said that Cesar Chavez left his team for health reasons and for family reasons. And he said he cannot argue if it's a personal reason and a family reason, because primarily everybody works for the family. That confirmation was provided by Mayor Esco Moreno. And this is quite confusing, because I read in an article posted in politico.com.ph that the article was entitled "Too Many Players in Team Moreno, Cesar Chavez Leaves Isco Amid Infighting Among Supporters." It was dated October 13, 2021, posted at 8:15 a.m. I saw in the third paragraph that it was written, I quote, "Sources told Politico that differences with Moreno's campaign team led by Lito Banayo was one of the factors for Chavez's resignation. We tried to reach out with Lito Banayo, the former chairman of the Manila Economic and Culture Office in Taiwan. He is the campaign manager, and we still have yet to hear or receive a response from the camp of Lito Banayo." Carmina?
Thanks a lot. Our correspondent George Carino there joining us on the line. Moving on, former Philippine health officials and medical groups urging President Duterte to keep his hands off the Senate probe into government's pandemic spending. Duterte had called the proceedings a waste of time and ordered his cabinet officials not to attend the hearings. Among those who made the plea to the president is former health chief Dr. Manuel Dayrit. He now joins us here on the program. Dr. Dayrit, good afternoon to you, and thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Carmina.
All right. We just heard from Senator Bato de la Rosa. He said, and he's a member of the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee, he said, they already know the truth, and all that's left now, in so many words, is to file charges. Do you believe this? Or what do you think is unclear still at this point that you need to know?
Well, if he says that they know the truth, then I think they should then make sure that the government actually files the charges on those that they think are culpable. So I just raised that question, because before we were listening to the Senate inquiry, and it was just stopped abruptly. And eventually the president said that he was not going to allow his cabinet members to appear. So that was the main reason why many of my medical colleagues actually wrote this letter of indignation, which I co-signed. Mm. Now that I hear that Senator Bato de la Rosa is saying that they know the truth, then as one government, I think, then they should show that the charges are filed. Because this is the way that we'll get to the bottom of this. If in fact they file the charges and we know who are, you know, being tagged as probably culpable. Hmm. I think another reason for this is to also protect the innocent. You see, many of these Senate hearings will really cast broad aspersions on many people's reputations. And therefore, it's important that the charges be filed by the proper authorities, the Department of Justice, the Ombudsman. And failing this, then this just stops. Hmm. And nothing's going to happen.
But doctor, as you said, you've been following the hearings. Do you feel, do you know if you know enough so that charges can be already filed?
Well, you know, only they can say. Just as a consumer, mm-hmm, and a viewer of the Senate proceedings, I think we only saw the tip of the iceberg. And very interestingly, you know, one of the star witnesses then disappeared and reappeared in the House. And so that causes a lot of grave concern that, in fact, there may be obstruction of justice here. So if the Senate Blue Ribbon Committee has not really formally concluded its investigations, then I think it is only proper that it should go on and formally conclude.
Do you think that the president himself is guilty of obstruction of justice here, given that he handed down that memo barring cabinet officials to participate in this hearing, which is in pursuit of the truth?
No, in due respect, you know, I don't think the president should have signed that order, telling his cabinet members not to present themselves there. You know, I know these Senate investigations can really be time-consuming. But, you know, this is really part of the territory for cabinet officials. I myself, when I was Secretary of Health, had to attend these Senate investigations and House investigations. They really sap your energy and the time and so on and so forth. But this is just, you know, part of the democracy that we have. And in a sense, I think this is also protecting our due processes. The executive, the legislature, and the judiciary are all co-equal branches of government. And therefore, they have to be to function or be allowed to function as such. Otherwise, our democracy is not going to function the way it should.
And for some to trivialize the process as not part of democracy, as you said, but really just part of politics, Philippine style. What do you say about that?
Well, that's part of the territory. I mean, this is the way politics is played here in this country. And therefore, you know, for people that are sitting cabinet members, it behooves them to you know, face up to these responsibilities, no matter how difficult it is. It's just part of their job.
You know, I was reading the statement, and you're not just calling on the president here. There are a lot of other agencies, other characters, other stakeholders that could very well do something while the hearing is happening. And tell us about this appeal, not just to the president, but to the whole of government and even to the Filipino people themselves, Doctor.
Yes. Well, you know, as people that are governed, and I'm now one of those that are governed, our expectations are that people in authority, that people in public service should uphold the ideals of the civil service and do justice to the jobs that they are mandated to do. It's difficult. It's very, very difficult. But that is just the calling that you have to be able to stand up to. And if you're able to stand up to that and do it, then you will be completely satisfied with having served in government. But if you do not and hold back, then you lose out on that opportunity to really be a true public servant. And so I think this is the call to all government officials in the civil service to do their jobs properly and to avoid all of this kalokohan, you know. Even the bidding procedures, for example, we know that procurement is difficult. We know that procurement under duress in emergency situations are fraught with risks. But you just have to go and do what it takes, show proof of due diligence, so that when you're called to account, you're able to show that you've done all this due diligence, so that you have a defense for any, you know, accusations. But this is just the way it has to be done.
Of course, you mentioned, you know, that you've been watching. A lot of people have been watching as well. But, you know, this is not just an investigation in aid of legislation. In the pursuit of truth, many have equated this with the saving of lives as well. considering that we're talking about pandemic spending, we're talking about PPEs here that protect the lives of our frontliners. How will the truth help in this pandemic? We've got a long fight ahead of us, Dr. Daidit.
You know, you've made a very good point there, Carmina, because, you know, these are billions spent on supplies and on PPEs. I think about it this way. If these PPEs were faulty, okay, or were procured in a way that was fraudulent so that you got very low quality material, you know, the multiplier effect in terms of people getting ill, people really being unprotected is huge. And if I were the health worker, and, you know, that's why I co-signed, because, you know, I felt really very disgusted with what happened in the Senate hearings. But that disgust was also mixed with a sense of powerlessness, you know, and even indifference. Bahala sila, yan ang ginagawa nila. But in the end, you just couldn't let it go at that. And therefore, anger then turned to indignation. And, you know, I commend my colleagues for coming up with this letter. Because in the face of powerlessness, at least you can raise your voice. And I think this is a very, very important symbolic gesture to say that there are people that care about this country and are not just going to allow all of this to happen with impunity and go unpunished or go uninvestigated. So, and I think this is part of what we have to deal with. This is living in a democracy, and I'm still glad we're able to do this. And so it's protecting ourselves and protecting the next generation. We don't like our children to think that, you know, we didn't raise in our voices when we saw things that were anomalous. Certainly not. We want the ideals to be upheld, no matter how difficult it takes. That's just part of the job. And that's where the heroism is. And therefore, think about it this way. The health worker that you protect is the health worker that could actually save your life. You never know. And if you allow in these fraudulent transactions for these things to happen, then the consequences are huge. And without your knowing it, as an individual, you know, you could be affected by those decisions.
We're going to have to leave it at that. Former Health Secretary, Dr. Manuel Daidit, nice to see you again. You take care. Keep safe.
Thank you. Thanks
for joining us today.
Bye.
We're going to take a break now, still ahead. Star Trek's Captain Kirk going to space. And this time, it's for real. That story when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Back with more news. The International Monetary Fund slashes its growth forecast for the Philippines due to a resurgence in COVID-19 cases in the second half of 2021. The IMF expects the Philippine economy to grow 3.2% this year, much lower than its earlier forecast of a 5.4% growth. That's below government's target range of 4 to 5%. The global lender also downgraded its 2022 GDP forecast for the Philippines to 6.3% from 7%. That's also below government's 7 to 9% target range. The IMF says uncertainty towards Manila's economic recovery from the pandemic remains high. It adds elevated inflation and unemployment rates are also among the reasons for the downgrade. Billionaire businessman Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin aircraft gears up to return to space, and this time with Captain Kirk from Star Trek. Actor William Shatner is set to join three other civilian crew members aboard the spaceship. At age 90, Shatner is poised to become the oldest ever person to venture into space.
I'm going up into space. I don't know how many people can say that. It's life-changing in its way. Looks like there's a great deal of curiosity about this fictional character, Captain Kirk going into space. So let's go along with it and enjoy the ride.
The trip comes 3 months after Blue Origin's inaugural commercial flight, where Bezos himself was among the passengers. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.